You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 154 of the Wisdom by Wessa show on the Horse Radio Network.
This is Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Aguela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa.
Hey, Sophia, if a brand or a sales rep couldn't get an exhibitor space in August but wants to sign up in January, what do they do?
Then they can mark their calendar for August 1st, which is when we open up the contract for the January Wessa trade show. So the August trade show obviously hasn't kicked off yet, but we're already starting to plan the January show and are already excited for that one.
Woohoo! And if they're not a member yet, how can they maximize their connections?
So they can actually walk the show on our last day at the August Wessa trade show, which is going to be Saturday, August 16th. So you can just walk around, see how it's set up, kind of check it out, talk to people, get some feedback. And then if you do sign up for your Wessa membership on site, you will actually save on the enrollment fee. And of course, we always like a saving. And if you're not quite ready yet to actually join, you can, of course, follow us on social media at Wessa Trade Show across all platforms and join the Facebook group called Wessa's Forum.
There we go. And we're getting down to the wire. We're very nearly there for the August Wessa Trade Show. So remind everybody of the dates and times for Wessa August.
Yes, we're so excited. And the countdown definitely is on. So the dates are August 13th through the 16th. And we open the show at 8:30 a.m. So we'll see you soon.
J. Mark Bailey is a multi-talented artist whose journey spans from the stages of country music to the artisan craft of hat shaping at Gone Country Hats. With decades of experience, J. Mark has mastered the craft of transforming and preserving hats into wearable works of art. He's joined by his son, Cole Bailey, the assistant sales manager of Gone Country Hats. J. Mark and Cole Bailey, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, well, I'm so excited to jump into your story, J. Mark, as I know it's kind of multifold and definitely something that I'm interested in hearing about. So I think we should kind of kick it off with kind of how you rose to fame in the music world. Tell me a little bit about that background.
Oh, man. I'll make it short and sweet. Basically, with music, I started out as a drummer when I was 9 years old and played through all the years. And when I was in my 20s, I was playing for three different bands aggressively and playing tons and tons and tons. Ended up with some carpal tunnel issues. They said they could fix it, but it would probably come back again. So I loved music. I loved being involved with it. I had to learn how to play the guitar and sing. So that's how that kind of kicked off. And I didn't do it well. The first show I ever played, it was in Heber City, Utah at a summer event. And I was on a 4x8 foot piece of plywood. And they paid $700. And I think I played for 20 minutes and it was awful. It was really terrible. And one of my buddies who'd known me all my life was there, and he came up and he's like, you know, that was awesome. That was great. Super cool. However, you should probably never do that again. You can't sing. And I was like, wow, nothing like having your closest friends tell you that. But anyway, long story short, it just fed the fire and just kept at it. Was always interested in writing and playing original music. Wasn't really a fan of doing a bunch of covers and bar gigs and stuff. So we started into recording, we started into writing, and over time we just worked really hard and we ended up being able to, you know, share the stage with some of the biggest names in country and have some songs make it out to radio and do all that kind of fun stuff. So,
wow, it sounds like you had quite the ride there. I mean, with the first challenge of the carpal tunnel, how old were you whenever you found out you had it?
It was about 27, I want to say, 27, 28.
Wow. So really early on, you know, 27 in your prime to hear that you have something like that. I mean, that's a challenge that when you do, you know, adapt or overcome that? I mean, I know you learned so much through that. And I really like to hear, you know, your creativity and the originality of wanting to write your own music. I think a lot of creatives, a true creative, that's where they thrive, when they can, you know, start something out of nothing. And really that fuels, you know, your fire as well. Tell me kind of how the inspiration and the fire from the music world really launched you into the artisan hat shaping with Gone Country.
Yeah. Well, and a quick side note too, Cole, fast forward, you know, I live in Nashville now, and I was in with our producer and we were recording a couple of singles, and our producer heard Cole singing along, because Cole's been at just about every concert I ever played growing up and on the road with me and all that kind of fun stuff. And so he comes by it, you know, truthfully, and he started singing, and they ended up turning around and saying, why isn't he recording? Why is he not? Why is he? Well, how come we don't have him in here? He's a lot younger and better looking than you are. So we need him here. And, you know, anyway, long story short, he ended up recording a 3-song EP that we're kind of working through right now for him still. But to talk about the Gone Country side and the hat shaping side. So I left country music for about 10 years and didn't pick up a guitar. I had to take care of, you know, family and some personal things. Didn't think I was actually going to make it back to the music scene as an artist. And I had a buddy of mine, I was living in North Carolina at the time, and I had a buddy of mine reach out to me who had played guitar for Vern Gosden and Tanya Tucker and Joe Nichols and a bunch of others in the industry, and say that he had some connections with a record label that was looking for some material and stuff like that. And anyway, he said, you have anything? And I'm like, well, I mean, I haven't picked up guitar seriously in quite a while, but I've got a few songs I've been working on. And I sent over a couple YouTube links, just some acoustic demos. And within short order, they called me and said, do you have anything else? And so I sent a few more links, and I thought, well, that's probably going to be the end of it. And about 20 minutes after I sent that over, they called back and they said, hey, how soon can you be in Nashville? And I said, well, I can probably be there tomorrow. So I came over and I sat down with them, and they said, what would you like to do? And I said, well, you know, I'm, based on what you see as artists out there, I'm kind of past my prime. So I would love to write some music, and I'd like to get involved on that side of it and maybe do some publishing. And they said, we think that's a great idea. However, right now the music industry is really craving some authenticity and some realness, and you sing your songs better than we can probably get somebody else to sing it. They also nicely told me that I was old and not a risk. I wasn't going to blow anything up on social media and make a mess of things out on the road or anything. So they liked that part of it too. Anyway, that's how I got back into the music. And then Gone Country, kind of towards the beginning or middle of COVID, reached out, and I was speaking with Keith, who is the owner, and they did a signature hat for me that I was able to wear out on the road for a few years. So I was actually a customer of Gone Country before actually coming on board with them. And then a couple of years ago, they were looking at expanding and getting out of just the kind of the special events and fairs and festivals side of things, and getting more into the production and more into the wholesale side of things. They hadn't done any wholesale. And so they brought me on initially to do the wholesale, but they didn't realize that in the past, my history was crisis management for large corporations. That's what I was trained to do. So, and that's something I'd done a lot of, basically helping companies that were struggling and young companies and startup companies get their feet on the ground. And so with Gone Country, we came in, and within about 90 days of being there, Keith came to me and he said, I'd like to turn this over. I'd like you to be the COO. And we did that. We have, in the last 2.5-3 years, we've tripled in sales and in revenue. We went from having 5 or 6 wholesale partners that we started out with on that side. I mean, retail's always been a thing, but on the wholesale side, we had 5 or 6 partners. And where we stand today, we have over 800 companies that at one point or another are purchasing from us. Probably half of that are consistently purchasing, and we've probably got another 150 to 200 customers that are really solid with us every month. So it's been a wild growth process for sure.
Well, it sure sounds like it. And to hear, you know, you're continuing with Gone Country, you're continuing that genuine, true, and honest relationship. You know, first it was going through music, now it's going into showing your authenticity with Gone Country. And I really like to hear that customer first background. You know, you are the COO of Gone Country, and your son, who's actually on here with us, for anyone listening, we have Cole Bailey on here, Jay Mark's son, who is the assistant sales manager at Gone Country. But you guys have really laid an incredible foundation, and to hear the success and growth of the wholesale part of Gone Country is just magnificent. Tell us about, you know, what you saw when you were a customer first. Tell us about what really made you fall in love with the Gone Country line.
Yeah, it was Keith and Judy, the two founders and the owners. They are fantastic people. It's hard, you know, you spend a lot of time in a job, and many times I think we go to a job that we don't really enjoy and maybe don't 100% like the product, and maybe the culture isn't really what you want it to be. And Gone Country was the complete the anti of that. It was people first, money was a byproduct. And then you hear people say that, but they mean it and they live that way. You know, I mean, it's something that's incredible to see. Proud of the product. That's another thing that, you know, working for a company, you don't always get that opportunity to be actually proud of the product that you're representing and working with. So the culture, the product, when they set up the company, it was always what matters to you as a customer first. And they live by that. And it was always a one-to-one relationship. You're never going to call Gone Country and get stuck on some digital tree, press one for this, press two for that. So the challenge for us was to keep Keith and Judy's vision intact and alive, and to grow the company using technology, leveraging everything we can there to make sure those relationships are still fostered and that they still stay in place. So, look, for example, and I won't mention any of our competitors' names, but if you try to go get a wholesale account with several of the other companies out there that are in our arena, it may go 2 weeks before you get an email or a response, if at all. With us, on the flip side of that, if you put an intake form in on our wholesale site, within less than 10 minutes, that's our mandate, you get an email welcoming you, you get a text message saying, we got your intake form, we will get with you right away. In the meantime, is there anything else that you need? And you get a telephone call from Cole, from Braden, Bryant, one of the sales staff, within a 10-minute window of that form coming in. And that's just us saying, we feel like that's been lost. That has totally been something that nobody does anymore. And I'll tell you right now, we're gaining customers based on that. If you go out and you search Gone Country and you take a look at, we went out and we did a deep dive research on the company, which we're doing all the time. What are the top five pain points with companies like ours that are selling cowboy hats? Meaning online, if you go to Reddit, if you go to any of the commentaries on the social channels, if you go anywhere and look for any, you know, corner of the internet and say, what's going on? What are people saying? Not just about us, but about the industry in general. What is the main pain point with companies like ours? The number one was fit. They have a hard time ordering online and getting their hat to fit right. So we responded to that and said, okay, we're going to do the perfect fit guarantee. This is how it's going to happen. Not only are we going to do that, we're going to give you videos. We're going to coach you how to measure your head. We're going to talk about your head size. We're going to talk about your head shape. We're going to talk about all that stuff and make sure we give you the best chance possible when you're ordering a hat to get the hat that fits you. And then on the flip side of that, if it doesn't fit, send it back to us and we'll pay the freight to send you the next one out that hopefully will fit you better than the one that, you know, that you initially got. But the idea was take the pain point and address that and take a look at it. We're not the only company that's the number one for. The number two is obviously making sure things are in stock. So we hear that a lot, you know, I mean, that they're ordering, but they don't get it for 6 months or 5 months, or they have to order in advance. We do everything that we can coming out of our factory in Mexico to do a just-in-time delivery system, not just for us, but for the customer. So if you're a wholesale customer or a retail customer and you order from us online, we normally will ship within 24 to 48 hours. So if you see that product on our websites and it's for sale, that means we can get it out the door to you. And our staff at the warehouse is really, really focused on that. I mean, that's just something that's really important to us. So you take a look at those. And then we said, okay, now Gone Country specific, what's the number one greatest thing that people talk about with Gone Country everywhere? You know, give us, what are we doing well? And it was the customer service. That comes back every single time as the number one thing that represents us and sets us apart. And that is the fact that even Keith and Judy will still get on the telephone with anybody at this point. But our customer service is there. Not only do we have that as a reputation, just kind of in comments and stuff like that, but we have over 1,500 five-star reviews on Google. And they're not just reviews where they're like, yeah, here's a five-star. They actually write a paragraph about their experience with us. So those are kind of the things with Gone Country that made me absolutely fall in love with it and know that we had something really substantial to build on. I hope that was a lot. Sorry.
No, I love it. The more the better. And, you know, you talked a lot about the credibility and that personal approach, which I think that is everything in business. And as you know, if you're in the right business, you are there for the long haul. This is a marathon, not a sprint. You're wanting to build a personable relationship with your clients because you not only want to sell them a hat today, well, you want to sell them every hat they're going to have in their lifetime and their children and then your grandkids. Yeah. I'm personally a Western fashion influencer, and to hear that personable approach and to hear that like verification, that's everything, because you're so right. You know, oftentimes people don't give you a call back, or they won't pick up the phone, and the businesses and the people that stand out are the ones who are willing to go that extra mile. Because if you're not willing to go that extra mile just in communication, it's hard for a consumer to think, well, are they really going the extra mile in the quality? And Gone Country is nailing it and killing it in every aspect, from the customer service to the quality and even the collections. I was piddling around today on the website, and I can't wait to jump into more of those. When talking about how Gone Country focuses on keeping the oneness and really keeping the culture based in Keith and Judy's roots, let's talk about how you kind of divide the responsibilities between you, J. Mark, and even Cole. What do you feel like the strengths are that each of you bring, and kind of what's your lane? And then I'd love to hear from Cole, what's his lane?
Yeah, no problem at all. So like I said, my history is anchored in crisis management and growth. And so my focus with Gone Country was taking it from more of a mom and pop situation into a very systemized situation, from what we order, when we order it, how much we order it, and then to tracking the entire customer experience from start to finish, whether it be a return, whether it be every conversation. Something that we do that nobody else does, I know for a fact, is in our text messaging, all of our staff has access to managing all that. Every conversation that we have, whether it be text or telephone or otherwise, is completely summarized, bullet points, and transferred automatically over into that customer's file and account. It doesn't matter who picks up the phone. You're going to be able to actually have the history on that customer and give them the service they need. If it's Cole's customer and Braden picks up the phone, it doesn't matter. Braden can handle it without any problem, and the customer feels like we know them, regardless of what happens with it. So my role with it became, well, over time, it's become all-encompassing, from our finances, making sure that we're very healthy. And one of the things that's been really exciting for us is, we're not a young company, but we're young to this portion of it. So we're not running on debt anymore. We own all of our inventory free and clear. We have close to somewhere between 35 and 40,000 hats sitting in our warehouse in Orlando. And my job is to make sure that we are running as slim and lean as we can without sacrificing anything anywhere else. So systems, technology, those types of things. Also on the marketing and sales side, I mean, I feel like I'm responsible for the direction and the vision that we're heading. And it's nice to have Cole and the rest of the guys and our marketing staff, our warehouse staff and everything on board and feel like that they execute really, really well. So I guess that's sort of where I sit in the middle of it all.
I love it. It's so crucial that, you know, every lane eventually merges, right? To have that common thread between the two and having that father-son relationship in business is really special. I come from a family business previously as well, and it's great memories for sure that you guys are building. Cole, let's talk to you about your role as the assistant sales manager, and I might even kind of switch gears in a little bit and actually talk about some of the products you're launching. But tell me where your focus is on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I would say day-to-day would be, I mean, Bryant being the sales manager, he kind of handles a lot of the operational side of stuff and the actual like functions of the sales team. Whereas I would say I'm more kind of sales driven. So I'm worried about inbound leads or finding new sources of revenue, you know, hunting down new leads, stuff like that. So that, and with like the support of Braden too, helps a lot. But I would say I'm mainly, yeah, just kind of focused on, you know, maintaining relationships with the wholesale partners we do have, as well as, you know, trying to seek out new ones and, you know, areas we can improve our sales team.
Yes. Now, speaking of the wholesalers, which of course is our MO here, tell me what you're seeing wholesalers order the most. I'm on the website now and I'm seeing this Yellowstone kind of collection. I see Rip's hat on here. What? And then of course the Cody hat. I love the chest set. Tell me, what are the wholesalers buying right now? What's hot?
The Yellowstones are by far our best sellers. Those just, they're a good looking hat. They're the traditional, you know, cattleman crown, you know, your Western cut that a lot of people seem to be looking for right now. That, and with a lot of our wholesale partners, customization seems to be a very popular thing right now. So while we do, I think we started out with the straw and the palm stuff, and that's where I believe actually Gone Country started. And I think, I don't know, J-Mark can kind of answer that, but a little better as to when we actually introduced the cashmere wool stuff. But as far as that goes, I would say that the cashmere wool stuff has been super popular even throughout summer. You wouldn't think so because, you know, it's hot and most people are wanting to wear straws and whatnot, but they're not quite as customizable. And yeah, just like I was saying, it seems to be very popular right now that people, you know, they want to walk in, they want to pick out a style that fits them, but then they want to decorate it, burn it, brand it. You know, they want it to be very unique and original to them.
For sure. I have many hats myself, but definitely the ones that I love the most are the ones that are fully customizable. And it's a great way for someone to show their fashion off, but also their personality. So I love to hear that. And I can't wait to check out some of those wool and cashmere blends myself. J-Mark, wrapping us up here, I know you have a lot going on with new albums and singles climbing the charts, and also so much coming with the Gone Country hats. Tell us what we can expect. Of course, you're a must-stop see at WESA, but what can we expect?
I think you're going to see us simplify the way that we're presenting things at WESA this summer. You're going to see the highlights and not so many of the fringe products from us. And also something to keep in mind, I think, with everybody is that we are super proud to be the top end of the blue-collar hats. Like we're the top of the middle. Everything under, you know, that $200 price tag. It's not that we can't do, you know, the beaver and the rabbit and stuff like that. It's just that we feel like 95% of the people out there are going to gravitate to a hat that's really good quality that they can afford and that we're going to stand behind. You know, we've got four generations of hat makers. that have been doing this for a really long time, and they take a lot of pride in it. One of the things that we're going to be doing this year too, that you'll see from us, is we're embracing the staff. We're embracing the people that make the hats. We're pulling the curtain back. And rather than saying, you know, our relationship with Mexico, I know right now we don't do the political thing at all with Gone Country, but we know that there's been the back and forth and the this and that. But the bottom line is those people that are currently manufacturing our hats, they are some of the sweetest, hardworking people you're ever going to meet. And they are so proud of their jobs, and their families have been doing it for generations. So we're going to embrace that. We're going to highlight the things that make who we are and that bring the quality out with what we're doing. So I think the other thing is our focus, and this speaks, I think, to the crowd at WESA, and that is we are not interested in going after the big box stores. I want to see us have 2,500 mom and pop, multi-generational, brick and mortar customers and relationships where we can build the brand loyalty together and where we can have a personal relationship with those stores. That's our goal. We want to be in every community where people wear hats because that's something that is really important to what they do day to day. I love all the influencers. I love all of the aspiring cowboys. We're so happy that they're digging our hats, but we want to anchor ourselves in long-term authenticity and in these people. Like you said, the hats have been around for a long time. They're not going anywhere. The only thing that's going to change is who's supplying them. So our goal is to make sure we're those people.
Yes. Well, fantastic, J-Mark. It's been a true pleasure having you on the Wisdom by WESA podcast today, and loved that Cole Bailey was also able to join in on a few things. Where can our listeners keep in touch with you guys?
GoneCountryHats.com. That's our retail website. They can see everything that we have there. If they're interested in a wholesale account, it's just GoneCountryHatsWholesale.com. And like I said, we'll answer anything and everything that a customer has or a potential, you know, partner has immediately. You're not going to have to wait to get in touch with us.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And I can't wait to stop by during WESA.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Great show as usual. Links from today's show on the episode show notes page at wisdombywesa.com. And you could subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast player, Apple Music, Spotify, etc. And that way you can keep up on all the news for manufacturers and retailers in the equine industry. And the Wisdom by WESA show is published on the 15th and 30th of every month.